In your face.
I'm absolutely thrilled to have Lou Ansell and Candy Bowers in the studio to chat about this wonderful production, Funeral Flowers, which is kind of a scary thing because it deals with the class system and how that determines the care you get in the UK when you're institutionalised. Lou and Candy, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
What can you tell us about the production? First of all, you, Lou, because you're the actor in it.
One and only.
So it's a one person play, and it's based on loosely based on the story of a woman whose name is Gina Moffat in the UK, and essentially it looks at sort of this 17-year-old girl who sits at the intersection of lots of marginalized groups, and she's just literally trying to move through the world as best she can, but she's just dealing with so many sort of structural disprivilege. But there's so much joy in it. There is so much hope in it. And I think it sort of gives us all sort of inspiration to just keep at it, you know, through it all.
Yeah.
Candy, it is based on a true story, which must be kind of haunting, right? Can you tell us about the true story it's
actually
based on?
The true story is the wonderful part of it. Because I think we'd hear a lot of stories where perhaps we see these young people just, you know, drop off the side of the earth. We forget about them. They're invisible people, or they get into the cycle of incarceration. But in this particular example, Gina went on to be a flower shop mogul. She owns a number of flower shops across North London, and she is a major success. So I think it's a really good message to send out to young people right now in particular. And to also bloom lots of buds of compassion and human connection for those that have never considered standing in the shoes of a 17-year-old black British girl that's, in and out of foster care because her parents are, one's in prison and the other one doesn't care. So, yeah.
And that is really quite inspirational because it is based on the true story of Gina Moffat.
Yes.
It is written by Emma Dennis Edwards.
Yes.
And it must be really interesting for you, Lou, to actually interpret that true story and kind of bring it locally. Do you do that? Do you like dig deep and kind of give it, well, what would it be like here if that kind of thing was transpiring?
Yeah, I mean, like even in the rehearsal room, we've all sort of... I think we all identify in different ways because Angelique is, there's so many Angeliques and there has been so many Angeliques. I think this is just one story of many, and I think that's why it does resonate. And I think what we're looking at, as we said, is these systemic systemic hurdles that a lot of people come up against. And so I think there's, a lot to sort of relate to, which is kind of, as sort of Candy said, there's some beauty in that, and there's also some darkness in that.
Yeah.
That a lot of us are sort of the tensions between that as well is really
just
evident.
Not stopping and continuing on, and particularly for our diaspora as black women from the African diaspora, and Lou's actually Caribbean, like the writer and Gina. Just that stain and that like sort of becoming a statistic young and like what does it take to move through it. And I've actually done lots of work with kids in juvenile detention and on the margins, and I've seen it. So when I picked up this play, I was like, oh my goodness, this is a perfect play. It's talking about all the kids that I've met along the way that I dream and hope for will have that special thing, you know, whether it's I want to braid hair or I want to design sneakers or I want to have a flower shop or I want to write. And I always tell them always to write because we need to hear from them. And I think it's just such a beautiful moment in Red Stitch theatre history and Melbourne theatre history, herstory, for us to all be here. It's very rare to have this sort of connection, global connection. And so I actually think it's quite nice for kids because I'm in and out of like Footscray City High doing workshops. I get to read my little piece from growing up African in Australia, and they're Angelique too. You know what I mean? Kids out in Collingwood are Angelique. We're still trying to like, because we're all it's a very feminine non-binary table. Even our one cis man is very feminine non-binary. And so we can't quite put ourselves easily into the shoes of the like more disturbing young men in the play. So we have to do a lot of research because we're like, but why would he say that? Like, why would he? That's so mean, you know, like, and but when it comes to her, we're like, oh, we know her. We know her inside out. We see her choices, her fears. what she takes on board and what she learns to let go of. Yeah.
So you have so much real life experience that you can use as a director. Yeah. I'm really fascinated in the times that we're living in now, the rise of the far right, you know, the fear of Pauline Hanson getting in, actually, you know, slashing welfare, slashing institutionalized care, and all of this in a narrative of anti-migration and anti anything that's not some unrealistic stereotype of a monoculture. How is that impacting on you as a director?
I think that impacts on all of us. I know our designer Christian Biko he's just about to turn 50. I'm sure he doesn't mind. He's seen a lot. He's actually from Queensland, you know, and we were talking about how scary it is. But I guess as well, I'm so fascinated by, you know, generationally, so lovely Lucy finds this play and says, Candy's got to direct this. And seeing our intergenerational connections now with migration, particularly with the African diaspora, and of course Department of Education putting their eyes on particularly young black men and women that are in schools because they are more and more ending up incarcerated, you know. So we're looking at like interventions and creative and artistic ways of breaking open those models, of finding out ways to feel that we can feel and support each other to feel at home, that we're allowed to be here. Not only that, we can thrive. And let's be real, Socceroos, international modelling platforms, visual arts, hip-hop music, Africans who grew up in Australia or African Australians are kind of pulling above their weight, everybody. Let's be real when it comes to justice and putting on incredible things. Lawyers, I also get to be a part of the Amari Gala. So I see like all these young people across the arts, across, you know, every aspect of life, lawyers, bankers, you know, in the medicine profession, really giving back and elevating Australia, right? So I'm like, who would want to live in Australia without Sampa the Great, without, you know, the young man that just got us our goal in the Socceroos. You know what I mean? Like, it's a wonderful thing when we look out at it, and I think it's time to draw a line in the sand, everybody. Like, let's just stop catering to the things that are, like, you know, obviously going to interrupt the growth of the country. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That division and using stereotypes or unfortunate incidents and making that out as the norm, you know, when it's a, you know,
it's
an outlier. It's not. And you've just articulated that beautifully. Lucy, I'm fascinated. You discovered the play and you wanted Candy to direct it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, well, first of all, I read it in one sitting and I did not pick up a pencil or anything. I was just so absorbed by the story. And the next thing I thought is, Candy Bowers has to direct this. It's just like, oh my gosh, it just is an amalgamation of all of her experience and talent. And
I guess because people at 3CR sort of know me as a hip-hop artist, so, and a comedian and a political hip-hop artist. And we should say this: the show is completely in rhyme. It's lyrical. So it's you know, Emma's Shakespeare, and we're going on Emma's pentameter, and we are breaking and finding the keys to her lyricism. So it's a piece of poetry. That's the next level. And we're working with Christian Biko, who's an incredible composer and artist, for an original composition for this work.
Wow.
So yeah, so people who have loved my work over the years as well will love this show. It's up their alley, 100%. And we'd love to see more political types over at Red Stitch in St Kilda. We'd love to have you all in. It's really monumental for people that, you know, teenagers, we want you to bring your teenagers and we want to have those discussions with them. Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this show since 1997. I remember, Candy, interviewing you probably in the late 90s about your music career.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about the trajectory of your career.
Oh, dude. What can I say? So me and my sister wrote some pretty stunning shows that still tour internationally, like Hot Brown Honey. I should say my sister did pass April just now. She's had terminal cancer. She was awarded the Australian Women in Music's Inspiration Award before she passed. She was recognised by Disability Arts and a whole range of things. So there's still work that's going to be bubbling coming from her while she's in the other realm. But yeah, I did so much with her here with Sister She, and it's all really juicy inside of it. So I feel like even going back, and it has been a couple of years, we've been, you know, she's been going through that, which is why I've kept it a little bit more low key, taking care of her. And she really died surrounded by love. She had a living wake, 200 people turned up, you know. So legacy-wise, I'm looking at all of that and thinking about that all the time. And for me, it's just meant like I can be so choosy and picky with the work, because I only want to put on work that, you know, has a political, you know, heart to it. Like Lucy and I have known each other for a while because I've taught at the VCA, but I didn't get to teach you, but seen the work. And then we did a play at the beginning of last year called POTUS, Behind Every Great Dumbass Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, right? And that was so much fun. And I was like, this is exciting to be in a cast finally with another person of colour that's, you know, 20 years younger than me. How exciting, Australia. I never thought it would happen when Lucy gave me this project. I was like, what? Because it's my world. I've been to the UK and, you know, to the States and to South Africa doing this sort of work, and a lot abroad. So to have it at home is really interesting, and it's a major gift. Lucy is also going to be doing the work. So she's giving a major gift to these audiences. Yeah.
Well, a one-person play, but it's so interesting because it's not just a one-person play. It's a family, it sounds like. You know, when you were talking about, you know, how people were drawing on their life experiences to interpret these characters, you must feel very supported. And that must be a great gift, because it would be quite harrowing, challenging sometimes, exploring the racism and the classism of institutionalized care in the UK.
Oh yeah, it is. It's not a comedy
per se,
but there are some comedic moments. We're gonna hang on to those.
Yeah, and she's a real kid, you know. So she thinks kid thoughts, and she's, you know, she's a little bit of a mischievous kid. I always love the naughty kids. I think Angelique would have been one of the naughtiest kids in class. So, yeah, but very talented and very driven.
Yeah.
So amazing. Yeah. And she's funny. Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge in the production? I know you're getting lots of support, but do you kind of feel like you're going a bit mad sometimes?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's like we've been in rehearsal for a week now, and I can see the mountains upon mountains ahead of us. But I think there's been lots of conversations about not taking the work home, and Candy's been very instrumental in facilitating that and making sure that we know when we are engaging with the work and when we're safely putting it down for the day and we can go home as ourselves. And obviously, when you're working with material that is very close to home, you know, that sort of it's not going to be as easy as a sort of another show where you might feel like there's a little bit more distance from your characters. But I think we're just sort of from the jump trying to look out for how we can look after ourselves and each other. And that's something that I will be very rigorous in terms of with myself during the season, just to make sure I can try and tell the story as truthfully and honestly as possible without caught the cost catching up on me as a performer and as a person.
Yeah, it's powerfully raw, but I will say the cute connection between my work and Emma is that Emma, the first time she performed this, she performed her show herself in Edinburgh. And so she would go and see Hot Brown Honey, the show that I created with my sister and Lisa Falafi, in order to balance, because she's like, then I just need to go see a whole lot of black and brown women kicking ass and making me laugh. And so I love that synergy of going, I have made work in the world that this writer has also been able to experience. And I think that's what is so lovely feeling, because you can feel a bit isolated and alone in an Australian setting, studying at drama schools as we both did. I went to NIDA, Lou went to VCA. You're often the only one in the room. You know, sometimes when I've worked at MTC, I'm like, I'm the only black woman in the building. Or like Sydney Theatre Company, where you think, how can I be the only black woman or person of colour in this building when every business around this building is full of people of colour?
That's weird, isn't it?
But just not the theatre. So I think we're breaking through a lot, and the young people are able, like, I'm a bit weary from it. So it's like nice that the younger folks are like, let's are going for it still. and reinvigorating us, you know. Mm. So I love all of those systems, and we're telling a really important story. We're taking responsibility for that, and our whole company is, and understanding that, because we really feel like knowing there's community connection, shame lives in the dark, so let's put a spotlight on and like sort of move through and heal, process together and heal together.
Well, it's kicking off with previews on July 25 to 28, and the season runs from the 29th of July to the 23rd of August. That is quite something.
Yes.
Give us the venue.
We're at the Red Stitch Theatre in St Kilda, just across from the Astor. Yeah, six shows a week, two on a Saturday or something like that.
Fantastic. Well, Lucy Ansell, the actor, and Candy Bowers, the director, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR. It's been wonderful to have you both in the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.